All right, let's get up into the Word. We're going to start in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Jam on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Start in prayer. Father, we love you, and this is your time. We submit to you, God, in everything that you'd have to say today. Lord, if need be, correct our heart, rebuke us, show us where we're wrong, Father. I pray that, you, Holy Spirit, that you lead me through this Word and that you make clarity of this and give me insight, Father. And I pray as we listen, we don't just listen, but we're ready to do it, that we would be changed through it and through the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to be in verses 17. We're just going to finish it on out. So we got some ground to cover, but we're going to get through it okay. I was thinking this week, Cicely had sent me a text, my daughter, of my grandbaby. And the picture she sent me, normally they're pretty cool. This one kind of like made me mad a little bit because she sends me this picture of Esther. She's like three, and she's on the couch, and she's all spread out on the couch, and she's got blankets on her. And the caption that Cicely told me that she was saying at 3 years old was, "Hey, look, I'm like Papa." And I looked at that, and I told Cicely, I said, "Why don't you send me a picture of her working out or like eating something good? Like on the couch, all blanketed up. Look, I look like Papa. What is this?" And Cicely writes back and she goes, "Dad, the kid just calls it and she sees it." I was like, great. We are, at the end of the day, you're just spent. And Paul, when we're looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, you know what he's doing? He's calling it as he sees it. And it's ugly. There's a lot of stuff going on in the church that's really incredibly messed up. They have issues. We have issues. There's a lot of connection between these people and us. And the more we get into it, the more that we see how messed up these people actually really were. I mean, there was so much going on in the church. Last week we talked about that the women were coming in equivalent to booty shorts and high heels taking communion. You remember we were talking about the head covering. And Paul said, listen, you guys, the women should have their head covered because the women who were not having their head covered were hookers and prostitutes and loose women. And they had this idea, all things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I want. And Paul's like, hey, you better put yourself in check. This is still a holy house. And then men were coming into the church like pagan cross dressers. I mean, it was pretty hardcore, don't you think? Because they were coming in and they were veiling their heads. And that's exactly what the women were doing. And Paul was like, man, if you're a man, you need to be a man. There's an order of things that God has established and we need to follow that order. And ladies, you want your man to be a man. And men, you want your wives to be your wives. And there's an order of how we do things. And the wives are to get on our team and to root for us and to pray for us and to encourage us and to equip us. Paul, the word of God said that man was not made for the woman, but woman for man, because we need you. We need you to get on our team. And sometimes as a husband, I can tell you there are times where it feels like we're not on the same team all the time. And God has set this order. If we want things to run right and if we want them to run smooth, we got to be listening to the one who's in charge. Amen? So Paul gives it, he establishes God's order of things in the church last week. And what they were doing was what everybody else in the community was doing. Women were walking around loose. Men were walking around like they were homosexuals and cross-dressing. In fact, Paul had earlier said, a lot of you guys were homosexuals. And you came out of all of that. But now they're coming back into church and they're totally disrespecting God's order of things. We love everybody. That's for sure. This isn't an issue on who we love and who we don't love. This is an issue about reverence and respect for God and his house. And things are out of order. And so what Paul was saying, he's like, don't do what the community does because nobody's going to get saved if you guys do. If everybody's acting like everybody, there's not going to be anything attractive about Christianity where people would want to get saved, which told me that people don't get saved when Christians blend in, but they get saved when they stick out. So if you're saved, let me hear you, amen.
Amen.
If you're saved, then you know what you do? It's okay to bring your Bible. If you're saved, it's okay to go to church. If you're saved, it's okay to worship. If you're saved, it's okay to pray. If you're saved, it's okay to say, hey, listen, I may not have it right, but I'm going to try to live the best that I can in what I got and in what God's given me. As a man, as a wife, we're going to do things His way, not our way. He says, don't, and you know what happens is people see your life. What's that old saying? They may never read a book, but they will, they'll read you. Do you know people are watching you? People are listening to you, watching all your stuff on Facebook. People are creeping. And let's give them something good to see. So now one of the things that we do when we come together in church is communion. And the way that Paul sets this up, I don't think you're ever going to see it the same again. I know it's been challenging me like crazy. And the reason why we're talking about communion today is because Paul's talking about it. This is why we go through the Word of God. We can't get around certain stuff that we don't want to talk about or we're just like, seems irrelevant. Listen, everything in the Word of God that you come to is for you. Did you know it? Small differences between them and us. And so this is what Paul addresses. He's addressing this issue now of dealing with the communion, the Lord's Supper, and how God wants this to go. And I guarantee you, after we get through this, you're going to see that the way that God wants it to go is probably the way that you have not been letting it go. And so this is what Paul says in verse 17. Let's just read down to 22. He says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, he's going like on this rant. He's like, first of all, when you guys come together as a church, I hear that there's divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not, say that with me, not. It is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I shall not praise you for this. So Paul, when he's talking to the church in Corinth, he's like, listen, you guys are posting a lot of cool stuff about your church online, but I'm not hitting the like button. There's no way I'm going to praise you for any of this stuff that's going on in the church. When you guys meet together, listen to this, you're actually leaving the church worse than you showed up. Could you imagine going to a church and you were more jacked up when you left than when you came in? That floors me, because we're pretty messed up as it is just coming into church, amen? Can you imagine leaving worse? It's like going to the doctor and you're like feeling totally healthy and you're fine. And you're like, yeah, I just need a checkup. And he's like, hey, let me like shoot you up with swine flu. And you're like, okay, whatever. And you just leave, and you leave sick. The people were coming into church, and listen, they were leaving more messed up than they came in, and here is why. Because they're self-centered, they're not making church about Jesus, they're doing their own thing, their own way, the way that they've always done it, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And Paul's like, listen, I'm not gonna praise you guys for this. And it's not going well for them. And by the way, If we want things to go good for us, we need to make church about Him. Listen, I know we've got issues and we've got problems and we've got things that we need answers for. But when we come into the house of God, if your number one priority is Jesus, then Jesus is going to make you into a priority. We've got to focus our heart and our mind on the Lord when we come into church. And sometimes it's not always that easy. And so Paul's like, listen, you guys are doing your own thing your own way, and now you're messed up in church. He says in verse 18, He says, for first of all, when you guys come together as a church, I hear that there's rumors among you, and I partly believe it. There's divisions. That's what he said. There's divisions among you guys, and I partly believe it. Paul, when he says, I partly believe it, or I kind of hear what's going on, he doesn't want to believe this stuff. He's hearing it all over the place about this church. And it's like maybe some of it's gossip. They've written a letter to him and they told him the stuff that's going on. And there's all this stuff in the church happening. Everybody's talking about it. And he says there's division going on. And they're all talking about it. Do you guys know anybody that likes to talk a lot? They like to gossip. They like drama. They like to stir it up. Jesus isn't about gossip, though. He's about unity. And what's happening here in this church is disunity. Paul, when he says division, actually it means that they're tearing each other apart, they're ripping each other up, and the body of the church is dividing. And I want us to remember that when we come into the Ark Bible Church, that we don't have this about us. That we put Jesus first. And that whatever political stuff we're into, you put that aside before you come into the house of God. Because whoever you're voting for, guess what? They suck too. Did you know you're of a different kingdom? Don't get caught up in this stuff, please. Don't get caught up in politics. It's going to mess you up. We let our pride go at the door. We let our pride go aside at the door, and we want to remember that when you come into the church, sometimes, you know what, your feelings might get hurt by somebody. Did you know that sometimes just because you're in a church that people may say something that offends you? It happens all the time. And so what people do, well, forget that. They didn't say hi to me. Or forget that. They said this to me. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. And their pride gets hurt. They come in with political views. Their pride gets hurt. They come into church and they put their self first. And it's so important, church. And I do thank God for our church, because I do believe we set ourselves aside when we come into the house of God. This is how we don't get divided. One of the things that I love to see that I see you guys doing is there is no division in our church, and I thank God for that. But as you grow, there's this tendency where things get divided. But I love watching you guys pray for each other. I love watching you guys interact in each other's lives, ask how each other are doing. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get all of those self-centeredness, pride, political views, whatever, out of the church, so we don't have any division, but just unity. And so Paul, he's upset that there's no teamwork making the dream work. They're all doing their own thing, their own way. They're just their little group. In verse 19, Paul says that there must be factions among you, because it actually shows who's following Christ and who is not. When Paul said there's factions among you, you can just write over that word factions, cliques. Say it with me, cliques. Cliques. When he says there is cliques among you. Have you ever been to a cliquey church? They got their own groups. One group's over here, one group's over here. You got the cool people over here. You got the smokers and the partiers over here. And you got all these different cliques. That's what's going on. It's a cliquey church. I remember Vicky and I, we went to a church years ago. And we actually got involved in it pretty heavily. And I remember when our family first started going there, we would look at all the people wanting to get into a certain click, and the certain group was the pastor's group. It was the worship team's group. And I remember how desperately people wanted so bad to be in that clicky little group. It was disgusting. It was just like, man, don't you guys have any kind of like pride at all? I know pride's bad, but you guys are like doing anything you can to fit in with this certain click. And I remember looking at Vicky way back then. I said, you know what? These people aren't the cool group. We are. We're the cool group. Like, they're all going to want to hang out with us. I was being stupid at the time because I barely knew the Lord. But I told Vicky, I said, you know what? Those people aren't cool. We're cool. Our family's cool. Those people are fools. They're going to be over here on our side of the church in no time. But there's cliques in the church. And what Paul says is that what those cliques were doing is they weren't showing who was popular. The cliques were showing who was unapproved. Just for the simple fact that they had to have a clique showed that they were not approved. They were not approved by God. See, sometimes people look at cliques and like, man, that's the group, man. That's the holy rollers. That's the guys I want to be around. And Paul says, you got it twisted. Those people aren't approved. They're unapproved. And their clique shows it. And, you know, we want to make sure that as we're growing as a church and we're loving each other, that we don't want no cliques. We don't want no factions here. We want to pray with people maybe you normally wouldn't pray with. And I know some of you. Some of you guys have a real hard time being comfortable around certain people. I get that. But you know what? We're family, and you're going to be spending an eternity with the person next to you forever. So you might as well get used to hanging out with them now. Amen. So he's like, listen, there's no cliques. Let's get together. Let's pray for each other. Step outside your box and talk with someone you just normally would not talk to or feel comfortable with, pray with, praise with, get in the word with. That's cool. That's family. And so Paul's like, listen, you guys got cliques and it's not showing who's approved by you, but who's disapproved. It exposes, it highlights, it brings attention to those who divide the church instead of unite it. And so Paul says, listen, they're not only cliques are not only disruptive, they're totally destructive. We don't have a big enough church where we got cliques. Like, we are a clique. Like, all of us together, we're this clique. We're like the size of a clique. But when things grow, we want to make sure that we're about each other instead of about ourselves. And so Paul, he says in verse 20 through 22, he just unloads on them. When he says this, he says, therefore, when you guys come together in one place, you don't eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own ahead of another. Another's hungry, another's drunk. He says, and you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing. And he says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? You know, I often wonder if Paul ever got texts or emails for the way that he talked to some of these people. You know, sometimes I get these weird conversations from people. I'll teach on Sunday, and they usually roll around Tuesday or Wednesday. And they're like, Jason, you know, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have said this. And here Paul, I mean, he said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? When it came time to unloading, Paul got savage. Look at what he says to these guys. He goes, I'm not going to praise you. This is what he says. He says, you're worse off coming to church than just staying on your couch. You're selfish, self-centered, drunkards who despise the church and shame other Christians who don't have what you have. And so Paul's like, listen, if you think I'm going to praise you for this, you're crazy. Your mom may tell you how good you are, but I'm going to tell you straight up, you guys are out of line. You're totally whacked. And so in verse 20, he says, when you guys come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. They were coming to church, and what they were doing was getting drunk. Before they getting drunk in the church. It's not just that they're drunk before they come to church. They get drunk in church. And he's like, what are you guys doing? I mean, could you even imagine it? Like, we're sitting here, we're worshiping the Lord, we're getting into the word, and everybody's getting toasted. And they're like, yeah, bring me another beer and tell me about that verse about drinking again. Love that one. Yeah. And then they're treating it like this big, huge buffet. Everybody just going, grabbing double plates. You know, when you go to the buffet, do you guys ever do that? I do that. I grab two plates. I don't go up there with one. I load up. And these people were treating the house of God, and they were treating communion in this unworthy manner where they're getting drunk. they're eating all the food, and then they're shaming other Christians who don't have as much as they have. And it's a reminder that church isn't about us. It's about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Listen, coming to church is not about us. If you come to church because you need to get out of the house for a little bit, hey, thank God for coming to church for you getting out of the house, but it's not about you getting out of the house. If you're coming to church to hook up with somebody because you're single and you think this is the place to do it, hey, God bless you if it happens, amen? I mean, if you're going to find somebody good, you know, you got to be fishing in the right hole. And don't post that. Don't post that online. Hey, God bless you if it happens. But this place, really, really what the house of God is, it's not about us. Paul says it's about Jesus and that he wants to connect with us. And we've got a few minutes to do it. And so in a corporate way that shows the world who he is by us getting together and taking communion. Now, as he gets into this, we're getting ready to close out here in a second. But as he gets into this, he talks about one of the things that really separates us from every other religion. Every other system, this issue of coming together and taking communion with each other and making it about Jesus instead of about us. So Paul says, check out what he says in verse 23. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. And he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it,'" not as seldom. That's why we're doing communion often, is because it's commanded to do it. And so he says, "As often you guys do this," he says, "as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until the Lord comes." So Paul's like, I need to give you guys a crash course on what's happening in communion. It was about 5 years ago that Paul was in Corinth. And when he was in Corinth, he was there for 18 months. And he poured into these guys All that the Lord had poured into him. And as I was reading that, I was thinking about how important it is when Paul said, "That which I received, I gave to you." So how did Paul hear a word from the Lord? Well, he had to spend time with the Lord. That's a message for you, by the way. You're confused. You got questions. You need some answers. Guess who you're gonna have to do? You're gonna have to get with the Lord. Paul would get with the Lord, and the Lord would get with him. And he would download into Paul, and he says, "That which I received, I give to you." In other words, what he's saying is that we don't just get poured into, we pour out, not just get it in. When we take the word of God, it's so important that we just don't get poured into, but that we pour it out too. It's like Esther, these kids, they come over to our house, and I had this 5-day box Nutrisystem. Have you guys seen this? Because I'm trying to lose weight. So I bought this Nutrisystem box. And by the way, you will lose weight because it's so nasty. You never want to eat another thing in your life. And so I had all these like leftover snacks, and I was handing them out to the girls. And brother was off somewhere else, and Esther comes up and she's like, "Papa," she's like, give me some of those snacks. So I'm like, okay. And I give her the snacks and she's eating them, and she's like, "These are so good." And I'm like, "Really? Nobody likes this stuff." So after she eats it for a minute, she reaches out her hand and she's like, "Hey, I need to take one for brother." And I was like, "What?" She goes, "I want to take one over to brother." And so I'm like, okay. And so I give her the pack of cookies. She takes it over to it. And she's like, "Hey, these are so good. Check this out." And he's eating them and he's downing them. And when I saw that, I was so blessed by it because I started thinking about how when we take in the Word of God, how much it must bless God to see His kids take what He's poured in and they pour it out and they give it out. You know, listen, whatever God speaks to you, number one, everybody should be hearing from the Lord in here. And what we do is we take what God gives us and we give it back out. We need to spend time. Vicky tells me all the time, hey, the Lord was talking to me about this. I try to share about what the Lord shows me. You need to talk to your grandbabies. You need to talk to your kids. You need to talk to your mom. You need to talk to your family. And just say, hey, listen, this is what the Lord showed me. How cool is this? Talk to the Starbucks guy. I pulled up there this week. And he asked me how life was going because he knew we had a hard last couple months with the shop getting wrecked and everything. And I said, man, let me tell you something. The Word of God says that He causes all things for our good in His glory. And I believe every word of it. Amen. And you know what he says? He's like, oh, okay. Now, I don't know if that meant you're a freak, take your Americano and go. Or it was, I'm going to meditate on that. I don't know which one it was. I'd like to think that he's going to take that in and meditate on it, going to change his life. But I don't know. All I'm trying to tell you is that when God pours into us, check this out, He does want you to pour into somebody else. Could you imagine that, Paul? Hey, Paul, God, Jesus telling Paul, listen, God is so good. He loves sinners. He's forgiven you of all your sins. You're righteous. You're holy because of the blood of God. And he's just like, you know what? That's cool. I think I'm going to tell nobody. And we would have nothing of the New Testament, hardly. Man, Paul got busy and he downloaded. He says to the church in Corinth, that's which I first received, I gave to you. And it's a good reminder for us too, that what God gives us, we got to share with other people. And so in verse 23, he says, he said that, for that which I received from the Lord, I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave thanks for it. Now, I had that highlighted in my Bible. Here's why. Because when I saw that, that blew my mind that Paul was making a point to make a connection. Check this out. Paul was trying to make a connection to something. When he said, on that same night. Well, what kind of night was it, Paul, when Jesus was betrayed? It was one of the most horrible nights that Jesus had ever experienced. And he knew when he took the bread. This is the connection Paul's making. He knew that when Jesus took the bread, Jesus already said, this is my body broken for you. And Paul says, on that same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it. And my question was this, how can you know that you're going to be broken and still give thanks for it? It's not can we handle being blessed, but can we be thankful for when we get broken? I wonder if there's anybody in here today that's going through some breaking. Can you do it with thanksgiving? Can you do it with your eyes on the King? See, when Jesus did that, do you know how he did it? Do you know how he gave thanks? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, write it down. This is how. You're going to want to write this down. The reason why Jesus was able to give thanks for the breaking and everything that he was going to go through, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us why. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So if you were to interview Jesus and say, hey, what got you through? How did you give thanks? How did you go through it with your head up high and ready to do it? And he'd say, because of you. For the joy set before him, you and me, he endured the cross. It was us that got him through that, through the power of the Holy Spirit reflecting on everybody who was coming into salvation through his sacrifice. The Word of God says it was because of that he was able to endure the cross. And so Paul says on that same night, Jesus, when he took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and all that Jesus did, remember this, this is two things, we're going to close out with this here. When Jesus did that, and he was getting ready to go back home, you know what he did? He asked us to do two things, and it's very simple. Number one, he told us to believe. He just told us, he told us to believe in him. That we don't get it right, that we're going to need some help, that we're going to need some forgiveness again and again and again and again, and believe he's the forgiver and the sacrifice. So he said, believe. Here's the next thing he asked us to do. He asked us just to remember. Get this. Before Jesus left, he asked to remember. He didn't say, remember what all the, he didn't say, remember everything I did. He didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, remember the time that I walked on the water. He didn't say, remember the time I fed 5,000, over 5,000 with the kids' Lunchable. Hey, remember the time that I healed the sick and I gave sight to the blind and I opened the ears of a deaf man. Remember that. He didn't say that. You know what he did say? Remember my sacrifice. Remember that I laid my life down for you. Because I'm going away. I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and I will be back. And in the meantime, I want you to remember what I did for you. How many of you guys are getting older and you're losing your memory? Come on, raise it. Be happy. Or did you already forget the question? You already forgot? You know what? I forget everything. That's why I park in the west section of Walmart every day, because I know my car's over there. And even when I come out, I forget where in the west section, so I'm like hitting my car alarm to hear it. Oh, it's over there. And I try to act like I knew it, you know, because I'm with Vicky and I don't want her to think I'm losing my mind. I woke up yesterday morning, and my dog, she needed to go outside. I get up early. She was right there. She had to go to the bathroom. I kid you not. I wake up, I look at my dog, I walk into the kitchen, I get my Keurig, I go and I grab my Bible, I sit down at the table, and I say, man, that dog is being quiet outside. Normally, she's out there barking like crazy. And I look down and she's still at my feet. No joke, I didn't even let her out. I thought I let my dog out and she's right there at my feet. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I forget everything. And so when Jesus said, listen, I want you to do this. Don't build monuments. Don't build statues. You don't have to do a bunch of crazy stuff. I'm asking you to do this one thing, and could you do it? Remember me. Remember my sacrifice. Why did he have to tell you to remember? Because we forget. You guys got your doctor's appointments going on. You're understaffed at work, and they're working you a lot of hours. I see it all the time. I get it. I know. You can't let your kids go outside without a helmet and battle gear on because they're crazy. And God says this, I want you to listen, set that time aside and remember. And we're going to have a chance to do that right here really quick in these last few minutes as we take communion. And I wonder if you ever, you know, the one thing about, listen, the reason why we're going to remember the Lord is because he remembered us. Check out Isaiah 49 verse 15. This was written 700 years before Jesus. And he says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Check this out. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Have you guys ever read that before? How could I forget you? I got you on the palms of my hands. When did any of that happen? So if you ever wonder, listen, I'll give it to you again so you guys remember it. Isaiah 49, 15. He says, how can I forget you? I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands 700 years before there was ever any crucifixion. And the Word of God says he's got you right here. I wonder if you ever feel like God's forgotten you. I wonder if you ever feel like God's silent. I wonder if you ever feel like God's not around when you need him to be around. I wonder if you ever feel like, man, if he did love me, I wouldn't hurt so bad. I wouldn't have gone what I've gone through. I wouldn't be going what I'm going through. I hurt. If he loved me, and if he remembered me, and you know what God says? When you feel like God has forgot you, you need to remember him at the cross. Is that not the truth? Because if you start getting your mind on how bad our body's breaking down, all the appointments, all the stress of work, all the garbage that we got to take care of in and out of our daily life, and you're looking at how to provide and if you're going to make it next month or whatever, and you're like, God, why don't you just provide for me? Why don't you just give me a break? Why don't you just throw me a bone? Why don't you just help me out? Don't act like you guys don't ever feel like that. And you can get this mindset where you're like, where are you? Are you even there? He says, I haven't forgot you. I died for you. And if we keep our eyes on the cross, we'll always remember that about Jesus. And so Paul, check this out. He closes out. Let's close out these last few verses. Worship team, come on up. Paul says in verse 27, he says, therefore, he's talking about coming to communion this morning. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread, and let him take of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many fall asleep. That's like every Christian's favorite verse, right? Many of you are dying and sick. Praise God. So Paul says, why though? He says they're not taking of communion in a worthy manner. And he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And he says, the rest I will set in order when I come. So when Paul talks to him and he closes out chapter 11 and he tells him, listen, you've got to do some things. You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And here's why, because what communion had become for them was routine. And they were taking it in an unworthy manner. Now, let me tell you guys the situation of what was happening, because it's pretty serious, the consequences. When they would come into the Lord's table, they're getting drunk. They're coming not only drunk, but they're coming and they're taking communion with hate against somebody else when God has already loved them. They're coming with unforgiveness with other people when he'd already forgiven them. They're coming with bitterness in their heart, all the while they're taking of God's goodness. Do you see the contrast? And he says, you guys, when you come into the house of the Lord and you're going to take communion, there's some things that you got to square up with. Because you're doing it in an unworthy manner. You're taking of all of God's holiness, all of his forgiveness, all of his righteousness, all of his goodness towards you, and you're coming up and you're doing it with all this other stuff against other people. You've got no real love for God and you got no real love for those around you. And what's happening is it's making you sick. Do you guys know that holding on to what God died that we may let go of will make you sick? It'll kill you inside. Have you ever been so bitter you couldn't sleep? So angry it made your stomach sick? And you know what? Jesus says, listen, I've come and I've died to take away all of that stuff. And so as we close this morning, would you stand with me? I want you guys to remember this as we're getting ready to close this out. That communion, when we come up here, it's not about holding on to things, but letting them go. It's not about holding on to unforgiveness, because I'm sure somebody has hurt you. I'm sure somebody has set you up. I'm sure somebody's against you. I'll bet there is. And the only thing they think about towards you is harm. And maybe they've done it. But whatever it is, this morning, God has forgiven all of that in us. And this is not the time to hold on to it, but to let it go. And there's three things. Listen, just remember this. When we come up here, this is what we're going to do this morning. This is how we're going to let it go. Say it with me, let it go. This is how we're going to do it. What did Paul say? He said, look back. Look back to what, Paul? He said, on the night Jesus was betrayed. He says, look back. Look at what God has done for you. Look at how he's forgiven you. Look at the life he laid down for you. Don't get your eyes off everything else. And just remember what Jesus did. Look back to that. And it will answer a lot of the questions that you're going through right now. And it will deal with a lot of the issues you're dealing with now. When you see what he did then, that settled it. Forgiving us as sinners, loving us, bringing us into his kingdom by his death, his sacrifice. But then Paul didn't just say, hey, look back. He also said, look ahead, didn't he? He said, every time you do this, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he returns. Did you know Jesus is coming back? Did you notice he's returning? Do you know it could be any time? There's nothing left to happen except for him to just do it on his own time. And last, he says, look within. And that's what we're going to do. As you come up, when the Word of God said, let every man examine himself, you're going to take this and you're going to go back. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to take a minute. And you're going to do some self-reflection and examination. And you're going to say to God, search me, God. And find, is there any sin in me? Ask God to show you. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to clear it up. You're going to square up with it. And you're going to walk out of here clean. You're going to walk out of here forgiven. And you're going to walk out of here restored because of the blood of the Lord. So as we close this out, you guys come on up here and you guys come up here. But let me pray before you do. Father God, in the name of Jesus, our hearts are open to you right now. And I pray that as your word says, let every man examine himself. Let everybody check inside what's going on there. And Lord, even now I'm praying that you lay it on the hearts of your children. What you see there that's making them sick, what's making them torn up, what's killing some of them. Whether it's relationships, God, maybe it's an issue of provision, maybe it's something in their body, I don't know what it is, but you do, and it's been separating them from you, and it's been causing some issues in their life, and this is the time to square up with you, God, and we want to be cleansed and forgiven of it, because this isn't a place to hold on to things, but to let it go. And so, Father, as we take communion today, search our hearts, Father, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.